I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Thursday is the day for our look at the world of sports, and coming out of limbo is the theme of this week's segment. Charles Barkley's back on the mic. Stephon Marbury returns to the backcourt. Barry Bonds is back in court. Tiger Woods back on the course. Here to help me make sense of all this is Kevin Figures, who blogs about sports at am570radio.com, and Chad Brown, who blogs at alphablogsports.com. Hey, guys.
How's it going, Tony?
It's great.
What's up, Tony?
Nice to see you. Let's talk about Tiger. Big news of the week. Tiger ready to roar once again. His first appearance since last summer and knee surgery coming yesterday in Arizona, where he looked like, well, the Tiger of old, didn't he? Without Tiger, nobody was watching golf, and now they are again, right, Kev?
Oh, definitely. Tiger is the breadwinner when it comes to golf. I think it was Stuart Sink who said it the other day that when he came out to tee off, there was only about five people in the stands because everybody was following Tiger. Everybody wanted to see Tiger Woods. He's definitely the biggest draw for that sport.
You know what, Kat? I wonder this. Is it good or bad when one athlete is so dominant that his presence alone can dictate a sport's popularity?
It all depends on whether he's active or not. I think in Tiger's case, it definitely is. It's definitely a good thing because he's such a big brand, even though he's been in the news mostly for non-golf related stuff like his appearance at the inauguration festivities and the birth of his son. But I made the mistake when I was on here last year of saying that I didn't think the sport would be affected. It wouldn't go in the toilet without him, and it clearly it did.
Did you say that?
I did say that. I said it. I was wrong. But
we give you a pass on it. We know you didn't know
better. I'm just glad to have him back. Right. It was just great seeing him out there in the blue shirt pumping the fist. And if this is him rusty, well, I don't want – the field does not want to see what it's going to look
like when
he's healthy.
Are they trembling in their boots? They have to be. Speaking of what's good or bad in golf, here's a big story circulating on the links this week. Northern Trust Corporation got a verbal beatdown from members of Congress for hosting a lavish golf tournament. The Northern Trust Golf Championship at the Riviera Country Club right here in L.A. last week. Now, there were reports, guys, of expenses at luxury hotels, flying company employees out here, lavish dinners, big-name entertainment like Sheryl Crow, and trinkets from Tiffany's, no less, for the guests. And did I mention that Northern Trust received $1.6 billion from the government as part of their bank bailout? The company says, "We didn't do anything wrong, but some members of Congress want some of our money back." Kev, what about that?
I think Congress deserves this money back. In our economic times we're having now, for them to go out and basically spend this on having a tournament and having all these extra, you said, things from Tiffany's and things of that nature. I think Congress feels that their money should be more well spent than on making the rich. I don't want to say make the rich richer, but you know what I mean, to help these extra expenditures for things that really aren't very important.
Well, you know, I've been to Riviera. I'm sure you probably have too. I mean, that's like nice of the nice, right?
It is.
Can't you, Chad, put on a golf tournament without all the bells and whistles?
Yeah, yes, you can. And I think in a lot of cases we're seeing some tournaments that they can't provide the bells and whistles. I think in a couple of cases they're canceling. But I've been to plenty of golf tournaments where it's not frills free, but it can be done. It can be done, and I think I pretty much agree with Kevin. This is kind of an air of, whether it's fiscal or not, just an air of irresponsibility on the part of these people. They can now, it's a free country; they can do what they want. But in the face of these tough economic times, it just does not make much sense.
Well, they cannot do what they want with the money provided for them by Congress. They can only do what Congress is going to allow them to do with part of that money. You don't have to have Dixie cups. Okay, but you don't have to have Tiffany's either, right?
Absolutely.
Something in between.
Exactly.
All right, basketball, gentlemen, in the headlines this week, from college to the pros, but it is an old pro who has dominated a lot of the discussion lately, Sir Charles Barkley, who returned to the TNT airwaves after his alcohol-induced sabbatical. Now he's looking at 5 days in the Hooskow for his run-in with police, set to start next month sometime. He's apologized, Kevin, and life goes on, of course, but does the punishment fit the crime, or did he get off a little easy because, after all, he is Sir Charles and he is really entertaining?
I don't know if I'd say he got off easy, because there have been a lot of cases of other athletes, current athletes, who've actually gotten off. I mean, Leonard Little from the St. Louis Rams got away with murder. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did any time. Charles Barkley is going to do 5 days in jail. He actually came out. He apologized. He took responsibility. It doesn't make right what he did. He could have killed somebody or himself. But at the same time, I think this is, 5 days in jail for Charles Barkley, who's show remorse. He's going to be back. He's going to be fine. So I think the punishment is it's It's actually more so than it has been in the past for current athletes.
Really? I'm certainly not trying to throw Sir Charles under the bus, but the question just is whether or not, I mean, he's so popular on TNT, and they need him so badly to get back in the booth. Is that a consideration at all, Chad, do you think, in terms of how he was treated in the criminal justice system in Arizona?
Well, no, I think that he's got that. I agree with Kevin. I think this is appropriate. I mean, from everything I've heard, this isn't going to be country club. He's going to have to wear pink, what they call pink long johns, I believe.
And oh yeah, that's right. They do that in Arizona.
While he's on work release, if he messes up just once, then that's revoked. But I think in Charles's case, you know, I think it's very refreshing to hear somebody say, "Hey, you know what? I messed up. This is not good." Instead of saying, "Well, I apologize if I offended anybody."
Well, if you drive to spring training, you're likely to see Charles out on the Interstate 10 in one of those pink pants picking up trash on the side of the freeway for those 10 days.
Well, he did the crime. He's going to have to do the time.
Absolutely. Stephon Marbury, speaking of troubled sports stars, Stephon has been bought out by the New York Knicks and is said to be ready to sign with the Boston Celtics any day now. Boston star Paul Pierce saying of Marbury, Chad, he's high risk, high reward. But with the Celtics trying to repeat and at the moment looking up both at Cleveland and at Los Angeles, and they got thumped by the Clippers last night of all people, it seems that they're willing to do something. The question is this the thing to do?
Well, I think if he's available, and bear in mind he does have some history with KG, I think I wouldn't say it's a win-win situation for Boston, but clearly they need help. If he understands his role, it should be okay. If he understands that stuff is not going to fly, because the Celtics have done a great job of, you know, restoring the pride to the uniform. And if he understands that what he did in New York is not going to fly, then it'll be okay. And if he doesn't, they have him for now, and then they'll get rid of him later. I think it could go either way. I don't think it's going to implode. But
the other question, though, I guess, Kevin, is how he will impact them on the floor. Because when he comes, if he comes, he's going to take time away from Rajon Rondo and as well as from Eddie House, who comes off the bench and fires up those threes pretty regularly. If he comes onto the floor, they've got to sit down. One of them's got to sit down.
Well, definitely. I think they both know what's happening. We saw the end of the Clipper game last night with Rajon Rondo at the end of the game. It shows exactly what an experienced point guard can do for you if you have him out there. Stephon Marbury is going to take time coming in, gelling with the guys, have a few practices. It wouldn't shock me that if in the first week or so he didn't even play, he maybe didn't even dress. Mm-hmm. He comes in, he practices a little bit, he gets some familiarity with the guys. And he brings that veteran presence off the bench. Like was said earlier, it's a low-risk move. If he comes in and he doesn't gel, they're not going to pay him that much. You can just let him go.
Well, it will be interesting to see whether it works out. I think he's going to sign with him, don't you?
Definitely. I think he's definitely going to sign. I think everything's been said. Doc Rivers, I believe, said that he believes it's going to happen. So I think it's just a matter of time now.
I think you're absolutely right. And I agree with you again about Rajon Rondo's play at the end of the game last night. I think if there was ever a question about getting another guard in to help out, that play sort of sealed that deal.
Very ironic.
Let's talk about college hoops for a moment, gentlemen. We're approaching tournament time and March Madness. It seems all the powers are in the East this year. Connecticut, Pitt, North Carolina, Duke. One of these four, I think. I want to know what you think, Kevin. One of these four is likely to be the national champion.
Definitely. I said North Carolina before the season started. Pittsburgh's really impressed me, even though they lost to Providence the other night. They're really playing well out there in the Big East, and I think that they can definitely pose a challenge to North Carolina for a run this year. Nobody's really been dominant this season. There's a lot of good teams in the ACC with Wake Forest and North Carolina and Duke, and some teams have come up like Clemson and Florida State that people didn't expect to be this good. So I think it's going to be an interesting tournament. I don't think anybody is a lock to win the championship this year.
I agree with you. Why is the East so good, so strong, so dominant this year, Chad Brown?
Well, I think it just goes in cycles. I mean, UConn has been a perennial power. You've got North Carolina, Duke, if nothing for the name, nothing else. And I think you also see that these teams are not invulnerable. I mean, you can see UNC getting upset by Maryland and then Duke going down there and beating Maryland themselves. And Pitt, like you say, they're number one, but they're not invincible. So no team is invincible, but they've all got strengths. I think it's going to be an exciting tournament. I just have no idea what's going to happen.
You know, and I forgot to mention Oklahoma, didn't I?
Oklahoma, Blake Griffin. Still out with the concussion, I believe, but he'll be back. And they're another perennial power
out there.
So we'll see what's
absolutely.
Don't mess with the Sooners.
All right, guys. Baseball, Major League Baseball spring training is in full effect right now in Arizona and in Florida. But the headline, at least here in L.A., is the latest offer. I think this is offer number four, if I'm keeping track, from the Dodgers to Mr. Manny Ramirez, number 99, Manny being Manny. I don't think I've ever seen a team Kev, want a player so badly but be unable to work out a smooth deal. And Manny is out there with nobody picking him up. He's just sitting around. Somebody's got to blink, and I'm beginning to think it's going to be Manny Ramirez.
Absolutely. It's like it's a situation of who's going to, you know, who's going to cave in first, the Dodgers or Manny. It's like they both want to be with one another, but nobody's willing to concede to the other's offer. The Dodgers don't feel that there's anybody else out there willing to pay Manny Ramirez what they want to offer. And Manny, I don't know what he's doing, why it's the negotiations are taking so long. I believe the latest offer is 2 years, $45 million, except with the difference being from the first offer, this gives him a player option for the second year as opposed to a team option.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, I mean, it's basically been a merry-go-round for the last couple of months, and I don't know when the end's going to come. It has to come pretty soon with spring training already in gear here. So,
could you imagine, Chad Brown, what the conversation is like between Manny and his agent, Scott Boras, with $45 million on the table, nobody else calling, not even the San Francisco Giants, mm-hmm. apparently spring training underway, and he's just sitting around?
Well, I mean, this is Manny being Manny. I can't say from having watched him afar up in Boston, I can't say I'm totally surprised by all of this, but I think Manny will eventually sign. I mean, capitals or italics or quotations on eventually, whatever you want to put. But this doesn't necessarily surprise me, but it seems like it's going to happen. Just a question of when and for how much and who's going to have the advantage, the club or him, in terms of the buyout clause.
All right, it's off season for the NFL, but that doesn't mean they don't make headlines. This week, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell giving up 20% of his salary, the league slashing 15% of its workforce in a nod to the economic downturn. That sounds good, but is this PR? Or is it real?
I believe it's real. I mean, I think they have to, especially with all the money that's tied up into the National Football League and all of these leagues. You know, I don't think Roger Goodell is doing this for our PR. So I think it's legitimate. He's trying to help out the economy of the NFL. There was a story earlier this week about the NBA taking out a loan to have to pay back all these different teams that are coming out in the red. And I think the NFL doesn't want to have to do that. So they're doing what they find necessary to give themselves more flexibility monetarily throughout their season for the rest of the teams for their league.
And it comes, if I heard this, I don't know if it's correct or not, Chad Brown, that while Goodell is taking a cut in pay, his counterpart in the Major League Baseball, Selig, is taking a raise. Is that right?
I would have to check on that to confirm, but it doesn't surprise me about Roger. Roger Goodell, whatever you want to say about him, has really proved to be for the most part, a stand-up guy. So if he's saying that he's going to take a pay cut, I don't think it's PR at all. I think it's genuine. As far as Bud goes, I stopped trying to predict to understand what Bud does a long time ago. So,
okay, we covered a lot of ground today. We got about a minute left, so we might as well throw one more topic in there really quickly. The NFL combine ended. In Indianapolis. Anybody stand out for you, Kev?
Nobody particularly stood out. I know a couple of guys weren't as impressive as people thought. Aaron Curry had some mixed reviews. Ray Maluga from USC, I think, pulled a hamstring during his 40 time, so he might have to run again in his pro day. Michael Crabtree from Texas Tech was mm-hmm. injured and didn't participate. So those are some interesting tidbits. It'll be interesting to see what Michael Crabtree does, because he has to have surgery, and people don't know if he's going to participate at pro day or not.
Really, really quickly, Chad Brown, Mark Sanchez from USC, whose coach told him not to go, has done pretty well in the combine so far, hasn't he?
No, he's definitely done a great job. This is a down year for quarterbacks, so anybody putting up even a mildly good show is going to get theirs. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine.
All right, guys, man, you earned your money today. If we were paying you, which we're not, so thank you very much.
Downturn, we understand.
This is a downtime for everybody. Kevin Figures blogs about sports at AM570Radio.com. He joined us here in the studios of NPR West, and Chad Brown blogs at Alpha Blog Sports. He joined us from our NPR studios in New York City.